Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Time now for the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Yes, yes. Welcome in. It is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN. My name is Tim McKernan, and I'm joined by a gentleman named Jackson Burkett wearing his Run TMA hoodie today.
Yeah, I haven't busted out this one in a while.
Well, you were sporting that suit yesterday. You were looking all GQ smooth. It was like Ocean's 11 in here.
Yeah, I wore that outfit for so long yesterday, because after work yesterday I went to babysit my nieces, so I didn't have time to go home. So I was in that get up for a long time, and let me tell you,
nieces were impressed. You look like a banker, like a Wall Street type, Gordon Gekko. Oh no, did I do it again by touching the mic? All right, I'm gonna switch mics.
All right. Let me tell you, I'm a fan of a comfortable dress, because formal dress wear for that long was not for me personally.
Is my mic on?
Yes.
I don't hear it in my headphones.
Because I turned off the buzzer.
Got it. Thank you. Turned off the buzzer, as it's known. It is Balloon Party 101 ESPN. Tim McKernan, Jackson Burkett with you for the next hour here on the program. We got Blues and Hurricanes coming up tonight. Jackson, he's still holding out hope. What's the number on Money Puck?
0.3%.
Oh, boy. Pre-game 6 p.m. on 101 ESPN as the Blues try to hold on. Kings won last night.
Yeah.
An off chance that would be a collapse.
That's gone.
It's solely VGK at this moment. And we've got action going on at Augusta National in super windy conditions. Lots of big numbers out there. The last player to win a major was Brian Harman. And Brian Harman right now is, as Iggy Strode on TMA calls him, high human. 9 over par. So the cut line, for those of you who are in Masters pools, daily fantasy, you're gambling just in general, because of the windy conditions at Augusta, it is right now a coin flip between the cut being +3 or +4. And +4 continues to edge up as far as a likelihood. I'm getting this from datagolf.com. And I would imagine +5 is going to start having some more likely percentage of probability than +2, because it is windy as all get out. It's my understanding it's windy as all get out in St. Louis today as well. And looking across the street south toward the car dealership, across the street from Hubbard Radio St. Louis, I see the trees moving aggressively, Jackson. So
yeah.
I know you're playing St. Louis today. You might be over par, which I know is very rare for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of kind of abbreviated finishes.
Yeah.
Trying to keep that ball low,
yeah,
under the wind, let it run a little bit. You're going to have to club up, but you check your pry at the door.
Well, I always say the following: when it's breezy, swing easy. And that's my credo, along with penny saved, penny earned. This is crazy. This is crazy. This is crazy. I'm in deep. Clark W. Griswold, 1980. I'm going to say 82 to give me 81 and 83.
Almost positive it's 83, but I'll look it up.
No, because European vacation, I'm going to give that. I'm going to give it 86 to give me 85 and 87.
So we got National Lampoon's Vacation, the original one.
Clark W. Griswold, Beverly D'Angelo, and the wonderful Anthony Michael Hall.
Indeed. And John Candy with a great little cameo.
Really,
well,
great.
Kind of a role, actually. 1983 for the original Vacation.
I'll ship that one.
1985 for European.
So I ship that one.
We'll go Christmas.
I'm going to go 90 to give me 89 and 91.
89 is the answer.
Nice. And then Vegas, I can just give it to you, but I might as well. I don't know if I should say 97 to give me 96, 98. I'm going to say 97 to give me 96, 98, and I think it's 97 on the nose.
8 years after Christmas Vacation, Vegas Vacation, 1997.
Yeah, then we're going to just be doing media and year trivia and leaderboard updates at Augusta today, and Jackson's going to prepare you for the hurricanes. That's essentially what we've got for you on Balloon Party, along with the Little Piddles Friday Six Shooter!
Woo! 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 Is Anthony Michael Hall your favorite Rusty?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Galecki, not bad, but...
What about the tall guy in European Vacation who wore the beret on the Eiffel Tower and the young French lass he was trying to court looked and then giggled and said, Rusty. Wonderful. Well, I don't know his name. I think that was his only role.
Yeah, he was really tall.
I think he does a one-hour midday show now in Tulsa.
And he's kicking our ass in the ratings.
He is. If you look at the numbers.
I'm not a big European Vacation fan. Like, I love Christmas in the original. The original is my favorite. Not a big European
fan. All right,
fan.
Well, how about this? Guten Tag. My family and I are looking for sex.
No doubt. Banger of a line. Not to mention Beverly D'Angelo was there, a gentleman approached her in the bathtub. Wild scene there in Europe. But I don't think
that happened.
Oh, didn't she thought it was Clark?
Clark W. Griswold who was in the bathtub.
Clark thought it was.
I don't know what kind of films you're watching, but you know, I'm a family man, and I know my 6-year-old and 2-year-old listen to this show, and I don't know how I'm going to explain that to my children.
It's the cost of trying to, you know, not pay the $3 for the rental. You're right. Clark was in the bathtub thinking Beverly D'Angelo was walking in. Instead, it was a hairy gentleman, much like the one you met in Cooperstown at your Airbnb that we discussed yesterday.
That's correct.
Except that was a lady.
Right, and I don't know why you called it a guy, because the core of the story was that the person had hairy armpits.
Right, right. Well,
you know what? We celebrate the decision to not shave your underarms. Thank you.
When looking at the cardinal attendance issues...
Nice segue.
Thank you. Do you think a major reason is the price of the ballpark, and for the first time that I can remember, has eclipsed the interest on the on-field product that, in combination with the difficulty to watch the games at home, has led fans to find other forms of entertainment? If that theory is correct, with Arenado and Goldie hitting it hard really turn that around? What I'm asking is, does it need to be a young core that comes in and brings the fans back out in a major way, or are we finally at the point where baseball simply doesn't feed the interest of younger folks, which by extension affects parents of said young folks, and so on and so forth?
Wow, I mean, it's one question, but yet it's a 30-part essay.
There's a lot in there.
I mean, holy crap. Did you write this question while you were hosting TMA with me this morning?
No, I wrote this last night while babysitting for my nieces.
Okay.
I was not as into The Croods.
Is that a show?
The movie. They were also watching Trolls 3. I was like, all right, I'm going to work on this six-shooter.
Got it. Bringing in the price is something we haven't discussed when talking about Cardinal attendance. Lack of interest in the team, the television situation, the crime downtown, those were three talking points that we had earlier this week. But with regard to the price, I think that's material to the conversation. So I tip my cap for bringing that up. I always, I oftentimes quote
Chevrolet Chase.
Correct.
Technology and stuff.
That's correct. At the pool in 1983's National Lampoon's Vacation, when I say I'm in deep. But another quote that I utilize is Timothy Oliphant in 2003's Best Picture, Girl Next Door, which you disagree with on goodorbad.com.
That's right.
And why I'm pulling my investment, in which he says, always make sure the juice is worth the squeeze.
Right.
And I've actually lived by that for about 21 years now since seeing that Best Picture. And I think people are going, I wouldn't mind taking my family to the game, or I wouldn't mind going to the game with my significant other or my buddies.
Yeah.
But God, you factor in the parking and how much it's going to cost to get a few beers or get hot dogs and sodas or whatever. It's not worth it.
Right.
The juice and the squeeze analytic.
Right. And the ever-growing amount of other forms of entertainment. You want to go back.
Brings it into that. So I don't think to finalize the question, then I'll get out of the way. But so I don't think that, like, if Mason Wynn and Jordan Walker and Victor Scott and Nolan Gorman go off versus Goldschmidt and Arenado, I don't think that's necessarily going to substantially change it, unless they just go off to the point that the team is winning crazily. I saw the article in the Post-Dispatch this morning on the ratings and how Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes and their run through LSU and UConn, and then the loss to South Carolina, crushed the Cardinals in the ratings. And the highest rated Cardinal game was last Saturday against the Marlins. I don't think it's a coincidence that at that time they had won 4 of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe it spoke to, you can also say, well, it was a Saturday.
It's also a beautiful day.
Well, then, so if anything, that would say then people aren't necessarily at home.
Right.
I wasn't in town. I have no idea what the weather was like last Saturday in St. Louis. But what I bring that up, and this might be just an outlier, but I bring it up because people might have gone, okay, they're winning, I'm going to start paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people would necessarily care if it's Goldschmidt or Arenado who lead them to winning. I just think that people want them to win.
Right.
And they look at this roster and they go, this isn't a winning roster. It could win the National League Central, assuming that the Pittsburgh Pirates have not reconvened Willie Stargell for the We Are Family run, that this is just kind of an average team without a lot of personality, and people go, it's not worth my dollars to spend them at the ballpark, or it's not worth my time to watch them on television or to go get another television platform and provider to make sure I'm watching them.
Right. Yeah, totally. The fact that you can't just go home, for a lot of people, flip on the Cardinal game real easily, watch it for a couple hours, enjoy it. The fact that it's so difficult sometimes doesn't work. And in case where you don't have the cable subscription, you're blacked out here in St. Louis.
That app is problematic.
Certainly. Yeah, it makes you sign in about every other time you go on there, which is just a lovely process. Either way, there's so many other forms of entertainment that you might not want to go through the headache of either getting on there, or if the team is middling, you might not have the interest not only to watch the game at home, but then to go to the game, like you said, parking and beers and food. And if you got a family, how much that can cost. And if the young people also aren't clamoring to go to the game, why drag them there if it's just going to cost you more money? And I think that's a real issue, is that the younger fans aren't as engaged.
Guys, it is a problem here, but they're still doing relatively well relative to the rest of the league. Absolutely. No question about it. Of course, again, small sample size, but yeah, the Cardinals are. But here is the thing. And the person who sent that text in, I don't know if they have a name, just 314, and sent in that data. They are fourth in Major League Baseball. That's accurate. That speaks to the loyalty of the Cardinal fans, but also accurate is the following. The attendance for, I believe it was the Zach Wheeler start on Tuesday night against Sonny Gray, was the prized free agent of the offseason makes his debut, was the lowest attendance for a Cardinal game. It was either that or the Monday game, one of the two. This week was the lowest attendance for a weeknight Cardinal game since Busch Stadium 3 opened. So that being fourth in Major League Baseball, that's a baseball conversation. The lowest attendance, and it was both games, Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday was a day game, so it's an outlier relative to this conversation of night attendance. That's speaking more to a Cardinal or St. Louis conversation. So that's where Jackson's question comes from. It is 10:16 in St. Louis. To make sure that I attempt to stay on track with the clocks here today, we'll take a break here. We have more of the six shooter. Tiger Woods, I believe, just birdied number 3.
Ooh, long par 3.
Am I thinking of 4?
Four is a short par 4. Nope. Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm so exhausted by this guy. Where is Rocchio? Where is Bradford? Where is Marsh?
I think the third is the 204-yard par 3, or it's either the really short par 4, the shortest par 4 on the course.
Either way, the man birdied it.
Impressive no matter what.
Thank you so much. The cut, Tiger right now looking good to keep that streak alive with regard to the weekend. Meanwhile, if you want to watch professional golfers struggle, today is your day at Augusta National. The wind creating carnage.
Mm-hmm.
In southeastern Georgia. This program is called Balloon Party, and it airs on 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back to Balloon Party, 101 ESPN. My name's Tim McKernan, that's Jackson Burkett, and Jackson's in the midst of this Little Piddles Friday six shooter. and arguing with himself over whether or not number three at Augusta is a par three or four. That argument will continue throughout the day here on 101 ESPN, I would imagine. But Jackson has provided value during the commercial break with a fun fact on the Vacation series of films, something I had never heard before. We were talking about our favorite Rusties.
That's right.
Anthony Michael Hall was in the first one. Jonathan Galecki in the third Christmas Vacation. And the gentleman, Ethan, I can't think of it. It was an Ethan. He was in Can't Hardly Wait with the delightful Jennifer Love Hewitt. Was Nick Papagiorgio.
Ethan Embry.
But we couldn't think of the name of Vusty from European Vacation. And listen to this fun fact. You'll remember where you were when you heard this.
And I've definitely heard this before, but I forgot, because I always talk about the European Vacation Rusty being very tall. And the texter actually on the Air Comfort Service text line said,
I thought it was Grape Ape Auto Detail.
Can't remember who it was, but I've heard it before. I always forget. It's Jason Lively, brother of Blake Lively.
Blake Lively, who is the lovely wife of Ryan Reynolds.
Correct.
And I said, well, he must be like 20 years older than her. That doesn't make sense. And then Jackson looks it up. He's 56. She's 36, 20 years older. But they are indeed siblings.
They are.
Like from the same mother and father, not step siblings.
Yep. Same. They are.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a fun fact.
Isn't that
Jackson,
crazy?
Jackson, you've already had a great show. Now everything else at this point, it's just cherries on top.
Agreed. And also number three at Augusta is the short par four.
So I was right.
Four is the par three. That's like 240.
Very yards. Challenging, tough back right pin location yesterday. They've put the pins on the right today to benefit those who draw the ball, like P. Reed and DeChambeau, as they're sure sitting there going, oh God, no. Jackson, question number two, Little Piddle six shooter.
So I want to get into the Shohei Ohtani situation. There was a bunch of news that came out yesterday, including a bunch of findings by the FBI.
You're just trying to activate me here. Did you write this one last night?
Yeah.
This was number two last night.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right.
Something else.
Well, because
you heard me go on a tangent this morning on TMA, so I thought you were just like, I'll just throw Tim a fastball. I'll Wainwright Jeter him.
Groove him one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I did write this yesterday, but you're talking about it today on TMA just confirmed that this is a red meat topic.
For me, it is.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are very interested in this.
I don't think as many people are interested in it now that it looks like he's innocent.
I still think there's some detractors to what you just said. I think there are plenty of people who, despite some of the findings by the FBI, still believe that Shohei Ohtani could be guilty of some of these.
Right, which is what gets me on tilt. So I'll take it from here, even though you have not, I've just been stepping all over you because you're finding Blake Lively fun facts over there. But here is my core issue on it. And this is more of a macro topic. The accusations, I want you to listen to this. It might be worth writing it down, honestly, or just jotting it into your phone and going back to it. The accusations, oftentimes unfounded, are louder than the acquittals. The accusations, oftentimes unfounded, are louder than the acquittals. So, Shohei Ohtani, that topic, front page news. News, not just sports page. News, a couple of weeks ago. Now, you actually have the entire complaint levied against his interpreter. $16 million now. He quadded it up.
Well,
thought it was $4 million, now it's $16 million.
Cubit.
The complaint, here is an excerpt from it. As noted above, this is from the federal government, I and or members of the investigative team that I've spoken with have reviewed an extraction of the Misuhara phone, that's his interpreter's last name, Ipe Misuhara, which contained voluminous messages between victim A and Misuhara in Japanese. An HSI special agent who is fluent and native speaker of the Japanese language reviewed approximately 9,700 pages of text message between victim A, i.e. Ohtani, and Misuhara between 2020 and 2024. Jackson, I'm going to say it one more time because I feel like you're looking at Blake Lively pictures.
Oh, I wrote it down.
Okay. 9,700, not texts, but pages of texts between 2020 and 2024. And based on the review, here is the following conclusion. There was no discussion of sports betting between Mizuhara and Ohtani in his phone. There was no discussion between Mizuhara and Ohtani that mentioned bookmakers 1, 2, or 3, associate 1, or the name account holder of the account. And conclusion 3, there was no discussion between Mizuhara and Victim A of odds, wagering, or any other reference which might indicate Victim A's knowledge of Mizuhara's gambling with bookmaker 1. Yet there were 9,700 not texts, but pages of texts. And how much attention is that getting?
Very little.
In comparison to what we had 2 weeks ago.
Which is a lot.
And so I understand, and I want to make this clear. So this isn't me chastising audience members or the public, because I recognize, you know, that the average person or even a wealthy person checks their bank accounts, or if they have business accounts, their business accounts on a regular basis. I know I do. I mean, I overdo it. I'm daily, but I'm just such a nerd that I'm checking and, you know, software, Quicken Software, going through, you know, something as outdated as Quicken Software. But for me, I like it to look at bank accounts and so on and so forth. When you get to a level, you oftentimes have an accountant who handles that and or financial advisor who then manages the money. In Ohtani's case, my thought process from the get-go on this is believable. I'm not saying he's innocent. I'm not saying he's guilty. I'm just making the observation that the accusations are much louder than the acquittal. And in this case, I realize he wasn't acquitted, but this is the document and 9,700 texts, and they didn't even talk about gambling one time. Why? Because he's in a nation in which he is not, this is not his first language. As crazy as it may sound, Mizuhara is viewed as his brother. That's what his Angels teammates said, his translator, and he entrusted this money. And you go, how in the world is that possible? He's covering for him, or the federal government, Major League Baseball are getting together, and, you know, when would the federal government ever lie? And they're covering it up, and so this is all, everybody's in on it to keep Ohtani's image pristine and not have him and baseball shamed, because you have a Pete Rose situation with the biggest international star the game has likely ever seen, whether you want to go Ichiro or Ohtani. Yeah. So with that all said, I still don't know, but I do believe that it's possible, and I've thought that from the get-go, but I don't know. What I do know is these details that came out yesterday are not receiving a one-hundredth of the attention as what took place 2 weeks ago, which was never an accusation that Ohtani gambled, just people reading between the lines, and then it became a talking point, and then his name and reputation was slandered. So from that standpoint, I just want to call attention to that. Anything else?
Yeah, I just think anytime you have a situation like this where you get an incomplete picture, but there are, you know, some might call it shady, or some, you know, details aren't filled in, some holes aren't filled in there, people are quick to be like, well, look at them, you know, guilty, 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 look at this. And then anything after that will just be blamed the cover up. Now, that's not to say that there
right.
hasn't.
That's
there,
right. You're there, right about the cover up thing. Now this is a cover up.
Right.
I'm like, okay, I'm anxious to see what people say. And then, of course, it's like, well, it's a cover up.
Right.
And so you can't win.
Exactly. So, and that's not to say that there haven't been major level cover ups in American and world culture across history. That's not to say that. So it's not like anybody saying that is out of their mind. But when information then comes in, and people just won't, when the court of public opinion has finalized their ruling, information, even such that would completely, you know, acquit Shoyotani, just to say that he's innocent, it's like, well, you know, whether it's a burner phone or it's this, that, or the other thing, or, you know, he's just taking the fall, you can't win. You can't win. The only thing Ohtani at this point is looking for is, hey, the FBI and the courts saying you're good. That's all, because you're never going to win the court of public opinion. They've already made up their mind.
That's right. The accusations much louder than the acquittals. Your thoughts are welcome. Air Comfort Service text line 314-399-9646. Also, YouTube chat very active, as always, on the 101 ESPN YouTube channel. It's 10:30 in St. Louis. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers. Jackson has the Little Piddles Friday six shooter. We'll have the latest from Augusta National on the other side of the break, as we have some movement. And we have a new leader, and it's not one of the two names you heard about yesterday. It's somebody other than Bryson and Scottie Scheffler. And in 2024, you have to wait until the other side of the commercial break to find out. Yep, think about that, Jackson. Yeah. This is Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back. It's Balloon Party 101 ESPN. My name is Tim McKernan. That's Jackson Burkett. And we have an hour of midday radio magic every day from 10 to 11 here on 101 in St. Louis and the 101 ESPN YouTube channel as well. Jump on in. The water is warm. Jackson, we have a new leader at Augusta National, and his name is Max Homa. Seven under par, now tied with Bryson DeChambeau, who is not taken to the golf course. Homa is on the fifth hole and playing with Tiger Woods, one of the few players who is two under par in his second round. As a matter of fact, there's only one other, and that is Cameron Young, the bomber from Wake Forest, who has finished as the bridesmaid many a time in his PGA Tour career, but has never been able to win and has been lurking in majors many a time in his PGA Tour career, but has not been able to win. He is two under par. Everybody else is putting up some big numbers in some tough conditions. We now have players who are double digits over par because of the wind at Augusta National. So if you're planning on watching the Masters today, you are going to see players who normally are firing at pins struggle like they're playing in U.S. Open kind of conditions as far as scoring goes, except this is because of the wind and not the course setup. So there is the latest from Augusta National. Got this text in the Air Comfort Service text line, and this is on the Cardinals. Tim, I went to the Cardinal game Tuesday night, and I thought I was in bizarro world. The stadium was seemingly half empty. This for a game featuring the debut and quite possibly the best pitching matchup we will see this season, with Sonny Gray facing off against Zach Wheeler. Later in the game, as I'm watching Matthew Liberatore bouncing pitches all over the place, I glanced up at the scoreboard scrolling league leaders with names such as O'Neill, Gallen, Weaver, and Miller atop some of the lists. So my two questions to you are the following. Number one, how long do you think it will take the DeWitts to notice John Mozeliak's business model of recycling retreads will eventually turn fans and thus revenue away? And two, as we watch former Cardinals becoming quite good elsewhere, seemingly on a regular basis, it's not seemingly, how long before they figure out the player development and recognition is severely lacking and do something to change this? That comes from Scotty Boom Boom in the 618. Wonderful text, tip of the cap. I wish we had a prize, or I was giving away money today because it's kind of a deep dive caliber text. And I there isn't anything I disagree with that you present. I would say, I suppose at this point, O'Neill and Hicks and Shelby Miller being 3-0 as a middle reliever, more outliers as far as small sample size. If you're talking about the middle of the season and O'Neill's an MVP candidate and Hicks is a Cy Young candidate, then you got a different conversation there. But there are plenty of other players at this point that we don't just need to say, well, O'Neill, it's early, Hicks, it's early. Yeah, it's a huge issue. And to me, I don't know. I want to make an analogy, but it would sound political, and I know that probably wouldn't be. There are bigger issues oftentimes, I feel like, than some of the issues that wind up causing people to vote certain ways. Do with that what you want.
Yeah. Oh, I hear what you're saying there.
So Bill DeWitt's spending and John Mozeliak's vocabulary and bow tie slash combination with a cardigan thrown over the shoulder are the red meat.
Yeah.
They're your New York Post headlines. But that's, to me, not really the issue, because Bill DeWitt's spending is in line with being in the top 10 in Major League Baseball and actually above the Cardinal market size and in line with what had been the team's revenue before the uncertainty on the television, $60 million. John Mozeliak's personality, people didn't like Tony La Russa's personality up until they won a pennant in 2004, and now he is revered as, oh, well, in the La Russa days. So a coach slash general manager slash manager slash owner becomes likable when the team wins. It's not really an eye-opening observation, but just to give you some relative recent history, there you go. What has been an issue, which has led to the team falling short of expectations, is the assessment of the player's talent while they're here and or the player's lack of development while they're here, to the point that they part ways with them in whatever way they do, trading them away, not signing them, DFAing them. And then the player goes to another organization and not only becomes valuable, like, say, one that rarely gets brought up, Lane Thomas, in exchange for John Lester. I'll go off on a tangent here, but I looked at that and people go, well, I mean, you didn't see what John Lester did. Great. He's in a tree stand by mid-October. It didn't matter. Why were they trading Lane Thomas? Well, he was blocked. Blocked? Well, then that makes it sound like there were three guys who were valuable to not be in. And now he's a regular who produces in Washington. I just don't get it. We excuse these things to justify it, but the talking point that it's accepted is we crap on John Mozeliak because people don't like him, which really is, he didn't like take over one Cardinal way. He works for someone, but you don't like the way he talks down to people, or you don't like what he wears, or you don't like his vocabulary, that he still works for someone. And that guy doesn't get as much of the complaints. So what the question becomes is, why does he have the latitude? Why does he have the rope that he has for what clearly has been about a decade, almost a decade of moves where you go, what in the world? Yeah. That, to me, that's the issue. It's going to get, if you post about it on Twitter, Facebook, or wherever the hell people are doing things to get likes, Instagram, YouTube, God bless. You talk about, oh, they don't spend. Okay, that's fine. They have a $200 million payroll, and we're in St. Louis, you know. And I'm not saying that to mock St. Louis. I'm saying it because the revenue stream here is not going to be similar to most other franchises that are spending $200 million. In addition to it, you might not like it and go, well, he's a billionaire. It doesn't matter. He should just lose money. It's not the way it works. It's not how you become a billionaire. You have a significant portion of your revenue that is questioned right now with that television situation, as do all franchises, which is probably why Jordan Montgomery fired Scott Boras, because he was told he was going to get one paycheck and he got a totally different one. The issue here is the assessment of the players' talents, and then they part ways with them, and then many of those players have gone on to kill, which means the player development here sucks. So that's the issue. So talking about John Mozeliak and not liking him, and talking about the Cardinals not spending money, red meat. It's going to win you elections. If there were elections in sports talk radio and podcasting and the Twitter tweets, it would win you elections. But that is actually not the issue and why the team is flopping around in mediocrity. Your thoughts are welcome. 314-399-9646. Air Comfort Service text line. This is Balloon Party 101 ESPN.
We're right back to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back, Balloon Party 101 ESPN, final segment for the week. BK and Ferrario from 11 to 2, and then the Fast Lane from 2 to 6. Pregame here on 101 ESPN as the Blues try to keep the playoff hopes alive as they take on the Hurricanes. 6 p.m. pregame, 101 ESPN. That is what we've got for you here the rest of the day on the program. Why, Jackson, why are you giggling? Are you sitting on a Sibian again?
quit tickling me, Tim. You said something funny in the break, and it really...
All I said was Peter Malnati, Sunday Charge.
But you, like, rubbed your hands. you like rubbed your hands and it was funny to me. And so I really, it really made me giggle and it kind of hurt my back when I
What? I mean, really you're hard. 26 years old.
The last time that happened to me in the studio is when I was reading off the hockey names and I kept butchering them. And
it that was a very unfortunate
incident. It was really funny. And it was actually the closest I've ever been to wetting myself on the air.
Is that right?
Yeah. I've got, because when I come in here,
you wet yourself.
Well, we come from TMA right down the hallway to here, and oft times I do not have time to use the restroom.
Yes.
And I'm just chock full of black coffee and water.
Nice.
And so I really have to pee, but I'm able to hold it because if I don't break the seal, I can hold it pretty long. And that day, I remember coming very close to wetting myself. Like, I didn't want to read another
name.
That'd
be wonderful that could happen, because that would make wonderful sense for the name Little Piddles.
That's right. Yeah, it would bring
the reason why I'm talking about Peter Malnati in the Sunday Charge, the University of Missouri golfer who won the Valspar a few weeks ago. I build out rosters. Essentially, I light money on fire on a daily fantasy site. And I don't know what I built. I built like 10, 11 rosters this week. And I have a roster with the leader, currently tied with Max Homa, DeChambeau, the guy who's probably going to win this thing by four strokes. I don't really want him to, but I have a feeling that's what's going to happen. Scottie Scheffler, Will Zalatoris, who's tied for ninth, Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's tied for 16th, and Taylor Moore, who I imagine most of you have never heard of, who's tied for eighth. And it could win me $1 million, except I've got Peter Malnati, who's out there flopping around at plus nine. And we were just looking at the cut line, and now plus five is 28%. So I need a Peter Malnati Sunday charge. Can Peter Malnati play the back nine in four over par or four under par? I can definitely do it in four over. I have no doubt that that's possible. So, I mean, I'm telling you, if those five guys, and if I would have gone with, I'm not going to do well with it. So, anyway.
Birdies on the back are tough to come by. Just tough to, 16, if the pin's in the right spot, can be a birdie hole.
It's 13 and 15 for bombers, but yeah. Peter Malnati would not fall into that category. Let's see what we got here, Jackson. Holding your pee can cause erectile dysfunction, Jackson. That's from the 314. Is that true?
I
know you majored in medicine, but got into sports talk radio.
Right. Well, I was... I wanted to be more in the what's the word I'm looking for, Tim? What's the word I'm looking for?
Chiropodist.
I was in school to be
what word?
A chiropodist.
I have never heard that word.
It's fans of Seinfeld will know George had to take.
I didn't watch much Seinfeld.
George had to take his mother to the chiropodist, which I believe is just a foot doctor. Another word for podiatrist.
Got it.
A different form of podiatry is a chiropodist. But yeah, I've also urology was kind of what I was also thinking, but chiropody.
I want to make sure, and that's that helps explain so much on the program. Going back to the Cardinal discussion, which I activated people, and you know what I'm always doing in here? Engagement farming.
We'll get you up early.
I like how you have brought that term to the mainstream lexicon.
It goes on all the time.
Is that right?
All
I guess it probably does.
Oh yeah, and it's been going on for a long time. It just didn't have like a real name surrounded around it, and now people are aware that hey, that's some engagement farming. There's a famous GIF from the film Mad Max Fury Road, good, of Tom Hardy pointing and saying, "That's bait." That's a popular GIF I see when engagement farming comes on.
I see.
Yeah.
An engagement, just give an example. Give me an April 12th, 2024 example of engagement farming for the audience.
I know this is going to be a controversial opinion, but I just don't get the hype around The Godfather.
Nice.
Because that's
timely.
Just
gonna, the film just released, of course.
52 years ago.
So how about this? Tell me if I'm engagement farming. I know a lot of people say that Scottie Scheffler is just as dominant as Tiger Woods was as of late, but I just don't get it, and I don't think he's going to win.
Yeah, that's both engagement farming and straw manning, because who the hell's saying he's as dominant as Tiger?
Nice.
That's a double shoot.
Yeah. Okay, I like
that. That'd be impressive. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Essentially, you're calling out our entire industry.
But the industry's kind of called itself out.
Yeah, we're the clowns. 100%. You can't make fun of the circus if you're a clown.
Well, you can. You just be furthering your clown status. And that's what we're doing. Clown status.
Like
101 ESPN.
Yeah. Can we change the name?
I don't see why not. We've done it like eight times.
Jackson needs to work on his Kegel exercises. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, boy.
Sounds like you do as well.
Preaching to the choir.
All right. So on the conversation, I'm not a DeWitt is cheap person, but he absolutely could have given out a payable contract for Montgomery and this team would be better off. That's from the 3-4. Couldn't agree with you more. And we're not doing the results oriented. Hey, what about in November? That was there because the market that Montgomery wound up signing for in Arizona was not there in November. I mean, you can say, well, you don't know. I'm very confident that Montgomery and Boris were not taking a 1 year and all the little incentive opt out. Yeah, Cody Bellinger totally set the stage for deals that we saw Snell and Montgomery sign for. But when Montgomery signed, now, anytime we talk about these things where I complain about Goldschmidt and Arenado not being traded last year at the deadline, and if you want to complain about Montgomery, there is, a piece of information that we don't know. Specific on Goldschmidt and Arenado, they have no trades.
Yeah.
They could have said we're not going anywhere. And specific on Montgomery, and I believe it was Buster Olney who said Montgomery did not want to return to St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So, how could the Cardinals, handle that situation? I mean, John Mazzell, well, we were interested in Montgomery, but he doesn't like the, lack of nonstops from Lambert. So that's possible.
What I think is interesting?
But as far as the texter, the 314 who sent that in, could not agree with you more on that.
Yeah. On the attendance stuff, and that ties into Montgomery. If you remember 2 years ago, 2022, days after the trade deadline, Jordan Montgomery started against his former team, the New York Yankees.
That's right. It was a 1-0 Jim Dandy.
And that was the highest attendance Busch Stadium 3 had ever seen.
Is that right?
2 years later, we see the lowest.
Just for the record, it's not the lowest attendance ever. It's the lowest for a night game at Busch Stadium 3.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
so there's night game.
But there was never a higher attendance, even in World Series games, than
that. That was what? August 22,
just days after the trade deadline. And granted, that team featured Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina, and they were good. They were a division winner. But in just 2 years, you're seeing such a wide range of attendance. And I don't know if it can just be said that it's the on-field. I think there's a lot of different moving parts in that situation.
I do agree with that. I really do. I mean, it's real simple. Think about, each individual situation. I'm talking to our audience. And you're going, okay, whatever it's going to cost, everybody's family situation, or you might just be a guy in your 20s your buddies want to go to the game. And you're going, okay, God, it's going to be, I live in St. Charles. I live in Belleville. Got to drive in. Maybe I might have some booze, so I'm going to Uber, whatever. It's going to park, whatever the case might be. Okay, it's going to cost this. God, it's going to be boring. Oh, it's Kyle Gibson. I don't know if I really want to Lance Lynn. I don't know. I think Goldschmidt isn't hitting anymore. Arenado isn't hitting anymore. I don't know.
Especially on weeknights, too, where people got to get up and work the next morning.
So, that makes sense. But I think, I keep going back to my number one is the television situation.
Yeah.
Because the television situation is what cultivates the fandom. Because even, as crazy as this sounds, and I know plenty of you who are listening, you remember this. You do not, because you weren't alive for it. When a Cardinal game was on TV in the 1980s, it was kind of a big deal. Home games were not on TV, unless it was a national game. So for a few decades, we have taken for granted that every game is going to be on television. And now, somehow, in 2024... we've taken a step back that I go, okay, I'm going to watch a Cardinal game. Oh, crap, I got to use the app. Oh, God, I got to sign in. No BS. My sister's wedding this past Saturday. We get home from the wedding. UConn and Arkansas is about to start up the second half. I'm like, oh, let's watch it. I'm obviously not at my house. We're out of town. I've never seen so many channels on a television because I'm a YouTube TV guy. Oh my God, there are 1,500 channels now. I've been out of pocket just streaming. Holy crap. On zero of the 1,500 channels was the Final Four competition available. So the next thing I know, I'm just watching a box score to update on ESPN. Mm. In 2024, What the F's going on out here, Jackson?
TNT. It's moving.
All right, it's time for us to go. It's time to head to the Dogwoods and Pines of Augusta National. For Jackson Burkett, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been Balloon Party on 101 ESPN.
You've been listening to the Balloon Party on the Tim McKernan Podcast, presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers on 101 ESPN.